That's why we need to understand, okay? That's why the church primary role is to pray. No, I'm not saying we don't do anything, but prayer has to be in the center. And verse 8 talks about he will be the kings of the nations. Verse 9 talks about he will be the judge. You know why? You read verse 9 carefully. He's going to execute the wrath of God. He is going to be. Sin 4, verse 10 to 12. Verse 10 to 12. That's where David speaks. I can imagine David see all this. He must be trembling. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. David said, Kichong, can you give me a little bit better credit? Yeah, David, I understand. If I see this, I will tremble too. Maybe my pants will be wet. Yeah, David speaks. I'd say both warning and advice. He give a warning, and then he give a 3-4 exhortation. I tell you what, this 3-4 exhortation is so vital for us. You know, basically, David is speaking to rulers of the nations as well as the end time generation. Don't be foolish. You think you will succeed? You won't succeed. And that's where David give a 3-4 exhortation in how we should respond. A call. Just write this down. This is vital. It's the call to the people of God to serve and walk with God in God's term. The last 3 words is vital. You don't define God's term. To serve and to walk with God in God's term. Using Jesus' language will no longer be enough. Don't redefine God's term or dilute His requirement. You see, we tend to lower God's requirement to what we can do. No, we are all weak. But instead of lower God's requirement, instead we should ask for God's grace so that we can meet the requirement. We don't redefine. There is grace. There will be grace, okay? So vital. If you understand this, I'm going to answer quickly. Then how do we pray for Singapore? Then we'll go to Psalms 2. In the context of this, how do we pray for Singapore? It's very simple. Haggai 2:7 says what? God will shake nations so that nation will turn to desire of or nation. I tell you, you see, the problem is not Jesus. The problem is our eyes cannot see. What is the definition? Desire of or nation. If we understand, nations will desire Jesus. That's why we need to pray for our nations to see. So that Singapore will say, wow, Jesus, we long for you. We cry out to the desire of all nations. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to Singapore. So we understand. Okay, I'm going to talk more next week. Turn with me to Psalms 2, verse 1. I'm going to run through quickly. Psalms 2, verse... I have half an hour. Okay, I'm going to try. Psalms 2, verse 1. Psalms 2, verse 1 talks about global unity against God. I tell you, it's unbelievable. You read that. It's unbelievable, but it is going to happen. You know, my prayer is what? May Singapore not be part of this unholy alliance. May Singapore not be part of this holy, no, not holy, unholy alliance. Take me to one verse. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. This is how you should pray. You search the word, not what you think. Philippians 2, verse 15. It's something that we have been praying over this week. You know what we pray? Philippians 2, verse 13 said this. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Listen to verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of fault. Children of God. No, don't be a children of fault, please. Children of God without fault. I'm still in U.S. time. Without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as light in the world. Pray that our nation will not go the way of nations. That we will remain blameless in the sight of God, righteous in the sight of God, even in the midst of the darkest, most perverse and crooked generation, we were still shy as a nation. Why are we worried about prosperity? If we turn to God, fear God, love God, our nation will prosper. It's always the byproduct. Don't make praying for prosperity as the main thing. Pray for fearing God. It's one of the things that we pray. May Singapore fear God. May righteousness be the pillar of our nation. I tell you, if our nation is righteous, if we fear God, I mean, may not know God, but we fear God, you think God will not bless? He's obligated to bless our nations. And the second thing is stand with Israel. So we have to pray that Singapore will remain blameless before the sight of God. Why are we worried about prosperity? It's just a very simple principle. You walk with God, God will bless you. But don't you want to be blessed? That's how you walk with God. God knows your heart. That's the key thing. Let's go to Psalms 2, verse 1. Verse 1 said this. Why do the nation rage? Underline the word rage. Wow. Nations will be angry towards God. May Singapore not hate towards that way. Not just angry, if you study carefully. Actually, it will be unprecedented hatred towards God. Unprecedented hatred towards God. No, it's slowly, still subtle, still passive. There will come a time it will not be subtle. It will not be passive. It will be outright. It will be bold rebellion against God. Which is next verse. No, next statement. Still the same verse. What the next statement says. People plot a vain thing. Underline the word plot a vain. No, this is not being unconscious or unaware. They consciously, deliberately, intentionally scheme and plan against God. Do you know we are slowly seeing it right now? We haven't seen the fullness, or we may not fully understand. But we are slowly, I will explain to you along the way. Okay, we are not there yet, but it's escalating. Escalating. I say we are raising there. We are really raising there. What do you think this LGBT agenda is all about? It's against God. It's against God. What are they rebelling against? What's the first institution that God installed? What's the first institution? Marriage, man and woman. Basically, it's redefining truth. The way that they redefine. No, I'm not against. We should all love the gays and the LGBT people, but we have to say, what is truth? No, they are redefining. What is this all about? If you read Matthew chapter 20, see, that's why we need to understand the signs of time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 says, lawlessness will abound at the end of the age. What do you think is the spirit behind this whole LGBT agenda? The spirit of lawlessness. Coming against the very law and what God defined, what is marriage. In fact, God say is good. No, not just good, it's very good. It's outright coming against. This is what I'm talking about. People will prop a vain thing. So that we need to understand. So that we can pray for Singapore. I'll ask you another question. What makes you think Singapore will not go the direction of that 13 or 14 nation that has fallen? What makes us think? You think your petition will work? No, I'm not saying don't petition. Please. But what is the most important petition? To the one who sits on the, you think it's parliament? The one who sits on the throne. Cry out for justice and God will break in. Okay, verse 2. They know what they are doing. It's not something that is, I'm sorry, I did wrong. No. Verse 2 says this, the kings of kings, if you throw in Revelation and many end-time prophecy, it's kind of like scary. Most nations will turn against God. Most nations. That's why we need to pray that Singapore will not turn that way. Okay. No, I'm not telling you fairy tale story. Mark my word. is escalating and it's escalating fast, especially young people. You need to have an awareness. You need to understand, you need to cultivate and develop the history right now. Our children, I'll talk a little bit. Why I insist some things is for their good. I'm not going to push, you know, after a while I also give up. Okay, so that's the key. But the key is for them. Okay, verse 2 says this, the kings of the earth, that means government of nations, whether it's communism, whether it's democratic, whether it's monarchy, they will form an unholy alliances. The kings of the earth, what is the next word? Set. That means they are determined, they decided, they will outrightly come against God. Set themselves and the ruler. Who are the rulers? Influential people. Powerful people, rich people, set themselves, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel. I mean, they will come together to plan. Plan what? What's the next statement? Against the Lord. That means God the Father, the Jewish God, Yahweh God, and against His anointed one. Who is His anointed one? Jesus. This is a bold, open, outright rebellion against God and against Jesus. It's a reenactment. Remember Genesis chapter 11? What happened in Genesis chapter 11? Tower of Babel. There is going to be a reenactment. There will be a global plan against the God of Israel and Jesus, the King. So what do you say? How do we pray? Let's go to verse 3. Verse 3. I know I'm just running through. I'm setting the context for us to start so that we can pray with understanding and pray with hope and confidence. Verse 3. Verse 3 describes that's where I'm going to tell you what is going to happen. Describe the strategy and plan of nations against God. They say this. What do they plan to do? Which we are seeing right now. Let us circle the word break. Let us break their bonds. What is this bond? It's talking about truth, morality, values defined by the word of God. They're going to redefine. They're going to break it. They're going to refuse to follow, which we are seeing right now. I'll give you a few. Okay. Let us break their bonds. Underline the word bonds. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. The cords, it talks about the requirement of human being. It's true. Requirement of human being to obey and love the truth of God, because that's how God defined truth and justice. But mankind is going to come a day where they don't want any restraint, which is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God, in His grace, there'll be one time He's going to lift up the restraint where there is no law. That's where all evilness and wickedness will arise. We don't even know the evilness in our heart. I tell you, if murder is not a crime, many people will kill many people. It's true. Have you ever said this statement? I'm so angry, I feel like killing that person. We won't dare to do it. You know why? Simply because we know it's wrong and there is consequences. When there's no consequences, that's where every wickedness and evilness will surface. God will allow it for a season so that He's showing to the world that why? Judgment has to come because of the evilness and the wickedness. Someone was telling me there's this show recently where I can't remember what's the title of the show, where every year, one day, in that certain town or something like that, where there's no law, you can do anything you want. That is actually a very powerful show that portray what is going to happen. Okay, never mind about the title. Don't go and watch it. Don't need. Okay. They will openly rebel. No, it's true. They will openly rebel. No, now we are seeing signs of it right now. We are seeing opposition, redefining truth, redefining values, redefining moralities. Like one of the things that the world is trying to redefine is what? Marriage. Marriage. It's not man and woman, man and man. Now, you know, do you know in America they even want to fight this case about incest? It's not going to be a crime. Incest is not wrong. we don't even know where we are going is crazy. I mean, I think about it, it's crazy. Incest means can be father, daughter, mother. Nowadays, you can even father and son. We don't even know where this is going. The kind of escalation or actually going downward, it is really fast. In US, they are redefining life. You know what you mean by redefining life? That means, do you know that US, even when you're pregnant, 7 months, you still can go for abortion. You know, do you realize what is the 7 months? If you talk about a few weeks or 1 month, it's still like it's called fetus. You can't really see, you know, it's not properly formed. That's where, you know, in the past they are defining, is this life or is this not life and so on, because there is. Now they are pushing the age. Even 7 months pregnant, you can go for abortion. Yes, my friend told me. He said, it's kind of scary. Kind of, I say, how can they even say that this is not life? Because 7 months old, you see, it's a pretty formed baby. They are redefining life. Ask you a question. Can God stay silent? Can we stay silent? We have to cry out justice, mercy. And we don't even know. That's why I say murder is legalized now. By and large, in many nations, it's escalating fast. We are reaching the fullness. And don't assume that Singapore will be an exception. I say before, 5 years ago, this LGBT is not even an issue. Now it's an issue. Do you know that Bible talks about it? Turn me to 1 Timothy 4. That's why 10 years ago, I remember we were at Best Way. I say this. Mark my word. 10 years from now, this whole, that time I don't know this LGBT, they even define it that way. I say this homosexual issue, this gay issue, going to be an issue in Singapore. Let me tell you another thing. 10 or 15 years from now, marriage between men and women will be out of fashion. Yes. So what are we going to do about it? We better teach our children. You think that 377A can help? We have to pray so that even in the midst of darkness, we will still shine. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Say this. Now the Spirit expressly say, man, I tell you, Paul didn't even want to quote him. I say, no, I'm not taking responsibility about this. Now the Spirit expressly say that in the latter time, that means in the end of the age, some will depart from the faith. No, he's talking to believer. They will fall away. Why? Because we begin to redefine truth, redefine morality, redefine values. Okay, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I tell you this Paul is not talking about, you know, some sort of weird occult practices that comes out. I tell you, Christians are not so dumb. The issue and the danger is not wrong doctrine. You know what's the danger? The danger is distorted message. You know, half-truth is more dangerous than deception. No, half-truth is more dangerous than false truth. Because false truth, you know, it's distorted message. That's why it's called, you know what this means? Basically, redefining truth. I explain to you what they are going to redefine, which we are seeing right now. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 3. My point is verse 3. Verse 3 says what? Forbidding to married. Forbidding to marry. What do you think he's talking about? Cannot get married, stay single. No, this is not what he's talking about. Forbidding marriage. Okay. So it's alarming. You think Singapore will be exceptions? The future of our nation is in our hand. Right now, Jubilee. How do we pray? How Singapore turn out and what we turn to? Is in our, I tell you, this call for a fast and consecration is not just this house of prayer. Quite a number of people actually God felt and spoke. That's why we came together. So don't think that you're doing this for one thing ministry. No, this is about God's heart, consecration and contending. Jump into it. You know, yeah, I mean, whatever you do. Just jump into it. You know, pray, ask God. You know, I tell you, I just came back on Sunday. I didn't even have time. I need to deal with a few important, urgent issues and so on. I tell you, every session, I just feel the grace of God. I kind of like say prayers. I say, man, this cannot be me. My language is not so powerful. There are grace to pray for our nations. 15 minutes. If I go a little bit over, if you need to go, just go. Okay. I'm not even talking about the Father. 3 escalating crises. Okay. 3 escalating crises. I'm just going to go fast. First one is moral crisis. Moral crisis. Okay. We know this whole gay agenda. This whole explosion of pornography and many more. I don't even need to define for you. Okay, 3 crises. 2, economic crisis. Far worse. Financial crisis is looming than 2008. You think that everything is over? That's not what the Bible talks about. And you know what's happening behind all the economy. Fasten your seatbelt. Okay. It's going to be a great burst of the Bible. That's why I always tell people, live simply. Live within your means. Okay? Don't go and take all the loans and so on. No, if you need, then fine. But that get what is necessary and learn to live by faith. You have to. Because God is going to shake nations. He's going to shake everything. Why? So that nations will turn to desire of or nation. Ask you another question. If Singapore wants to shake the financial stability of Singapore, no, not Singapore, God wants to shake, yeah, Singapore wants to shake, no, then that's not very wise. Yeah. If God wants to shake the financial stability of Singapore, what will you say? What will you say? See, that's why this is so crucial. It is so crucial. It's so unpopular. No, I'm not. I say, God, do you have a plan B? Please, plan B. What's plan B? Plan B is plan A. Okay, how about plan C? Plan C is also plan A. Okay, agree. That is what I'm talking about. So what do you think? Okay. No, don't be, this is vital because it's crucial because this financial crisis that has come is going to set the stage for 2 things. One is unprecedented violence and theft. Have we seen it before? Remember London a few years back? That's what the Bible talks about, Revelation chapter 9. 2 is that there will be an emergence of the 666 economy system that we have to understand. I'm going to go quick, really quick. The 3rd one is truth crisis, which we are seeing it right now, redefining of truth. That's the first thing. That's why we are seeing it now. Hyper grace. Go and read this book. This book is a good book to read. Title is called Hyper Grace. No, I don't have any, royalties. No, I'm just saying it because you need to read this book. Hyper Grace by Dr. Michael L. Brown. Go and read. Okay. Because we are facing a truth crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ. Church is redefining grace. Church is redefining love. Hear me out. Church is redefining who is Jesus. We need to know the Jesus that the Bible talks about. That's why it's so vital for our children to know the Word of God. They need to know the message. It's so vital. You know, this the thing, what? It's ways that, wow, good. We have children equipping. I don't care. Their ministry, I don't even want to put our all chart. That's not the point. It's so vital. Why I want our kids to engage in our prayer meetings? That will set history in their heart. No, it's not about, come to our house, see, look at our children. It's not about showing off. This is about, it's going to be vital. They need. Because now is the time to decide. It's not going to get any easier, trust me. Now is the time to be intentional. Don't be casual. Now is the time to cultivate history and to buy oil. It will not get any easier. Now is the time to decide. We have to decide. Not next week, not tomorrow. Now is the time to decide. And I decide, I say, I've rearranged. I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be the solution. In such a time as this, hopefully I'm not a problem or not a burden. Okay, so that is the next thing to next one, verse 4 to 6. Verse 4 to 6. Now the Father speaks. This is vital because these next three verses are not popular. We won't like it because it's the Father's response to the nation's plans. You know, it's so vital for us to know and to understand because verse 4 to 6 is about what the Father thinks and feels in such a time as this. So important for us so that we know how to pray and we know what to say. That we will cry out correctly to God. Now again, I ask this question. Do you think God will be silent? Oh, maybe sometimes we become a little bit numb to that moral, what do you call, decadence that we are going down. And many things that is going down, even the truth is going down, so we become so numb, we don't even know the seriousness of what is happening. We are so used to it. God will not be silent. I tell America, I can't remember, I used to have a number. How many abortion a year? Hundreds of millions. And it's one day by the thousands. I don't know, I used to have a statistic about Singapore. You think God will be silent? The Bible is very clear. Murder will shed blood. The blood on the soil will cry out injustice to God. And God will respond. That's why it's so, so vital, okay? Verse 4. Tell you, this is such a terrifying verse. The Father is really unhappy. And it's not neutral, but you think God is going to be neutral? He's not. He will not be neutral. The verse says this. He who sits in the heaven shall laugh. I think NIV say mocks. I tell you, it's not a nice verse because it's the most terrifying laugh when God mock. You're not going to like it. No. You know basically what this means? I mean, basically God is saying, are you kidding? You think you are going to win? You're going to prevail? I tell you, you know what's the greatest deception at the end of the age? We think that we will triumph over God. That is the greatest deception. We will not. God is not out of control. The verse says he is still seated. He's still seated. That means he's in control. He's not panic. He's allowing this, I say earlier, to happen just for a season. Verse 5. Then he will speak. I'm going very fast. Okay, I hope you go back and read carefully. Then tomorrow we can pray. I'm not asking you to pray Psalms 2. Praying for understanding. Praying for our nations. Verse 5. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, unpopular. God is going to manifest his wrath. I'm so thankful. This Sunday when we are e-learning, we're going to talk about that seal judgment, trumpet judgment, and the bowl judgment. This is what is that. He's going to manifest his wrath through that Revelation 6, Revelation 8 and 9, and Revelation 16 judgment. You know why? He's deeply displeased. That's why the second part of this verse says, he will distress them in his displeasure. He will distress land in his displeasure. Why? Why is he so unhappy? Because of verse 1 and 3. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The question is this. Do we understand? Do we agree? Do we understand? Do we agree? Verse 6. I'm going to throw you a question. I want to throw you a question because I want to make you think. Okay. Verse 6 talks about the Father's will. He has determined, has decided. There'll be one king of the nations. And his throne will be in Jerusalem. That is the ultimate agenda of God the Father at the end of the age, which is this verse. Yet I have set my king. Who is the king? Jesus. Where? on my holy hill of Zion. Where? Jerusalem. See, the question again is this. Do you agree? Do you agree? No, more and more, we need to find the answer from the Word of God. So that we pray not according to the political will, but the will of the Father that is from the Scripture. Certainly not Singapore, so don't pray. Singapore, get Jerusalem! Oh, man, no. World War III, man. Psalms 2, verse 7 and 9. Psalms 2. Oh, five more minutes. I'm just going to go fast. Psalms, turn me to Psalms 110. That's where we want to study together with Psalms 110. Psalms 2, verse 7 to 9. Because this is so vital. Remember I say, when I give you the outline, it talks about, well, I'm going to do this in 10 minutes, okay? I know it's injustice, but Psalms 2, 7 and 9. Now Jesus speak. He came into the scene. Three verses. One of the clearest information of who He is in three verses and what He will do eternally. Okay, insight into who He is as King, as Judge, as Intercessor. He will be the priest forever. What He will do. Now, I just want to highlight a point about the priest part because of the shortage of time. So turn with me to Psalms 110. Psalms 110. You've got to study Psalms 2 and Psalms 110 together. Both are powerful messianic psalms where it reveals the desire and the will of God the Father, and He's serious about it. He's not going to change His mind. He revealed His heart, who Jesus is, what He's going to do, and explain why we do what we do. So this is not, you know, some few good men come together or silly men come together, come out with this idea of 24/7 house of prayer. No. It's the heart of the Father. Verse 1 says this. This is one of the very powerful psalms, like Psalms 2, where there's a divine dialogue between the Father and the Son. Verse 1 said this. The Lord, which is the Father, the Lord said to my Lord. No, if you don't understand, it's kind of confused. No? Are you talking to yourself? No, it's Father talking to Jesus. The Lord said to my Lord. The Father is talking to Jesus. I mean, imagine David heard the conversations. Man. That's why David is prophetic, because I think he understands the Holy Trinity concept. We are still arguing. He heard it. Okay, the Lord said to my Lord, the Father is speaking to the Son. What is His desire? He has decided. He's serious about it. Because His desire and His will is to give the dominion of the earth to Jesus. That's what Psalms 2 verse 8 is about. But there's a requirement. You know what's the requirement? Jesus has to ask. Psalms 2 8 says what? Ask of me, and I will give you nation as inheritance, and the ends of the earth, your possession. That's called the mystery of intercession. If Jesus has to ask, what do you think about us? We have to ask too. Another thing is this. God cannot, if we do not agree with Him in prayers. Why? God is showing this to us so that we agree. Okay, this is a desire of God's heart. The Lord say to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemy your footstool. He's going to judge nations so that the dominion of the earth will be given to this one king. Who is this king? Jesus. So the question is this. Do you agree? Do you agree? Do I agree? I'm going to jump to verse 3. Verse 3. Verse 3 is so powerful. Which is a vital question, especially for us in such a time as this, especially for House of Prayer movement, especially for Friends of the Bridegroom, and eventually the Church of Jesus Christ. The question is this, verse 3. Your people, I know it's often quoted, especially in there's this prayer meeting at the end of the age. This is a verse that is quoted. The context is end of the age. When Jesus comes back, He's going to judge nations. What this verse says. Your people, I'm reading from New King James Version. Your people shall be what? Read together. Your people shall be what? Volunteer. No, this verse is not full-time, part-time. No. Oh, yeah, you volunteer. I volunteer. I serve you right now. You know, not being enlisted into some NS. You know what this verse volunteer means? It's about voluntary agreement. The question God is asking, do you agree? Agree when? What does this verse say? Your people shall be what? What? Volunteers in the day of your power. What is the day of the power? When Jesus come back. The wedding day. The day of the Lord. The judgment day. Do you agree? Do you agree in the day of your power? I tell you, the beauty is this. You say, in the beauty of holiness. You know why? You actually see beauty in judgment. That's Revelation 19, verse 1 and 2. When we become mature as a bride, what do we say? If you turn, don't need to turn to it, just write down. Revelation 19, verse 2. The bride will cry out, true and judgment. No, true and righteous are your judgment. That's why verse 3 is so powerful. Do you agree in the day of your power? Do you agree? We will resist if we do not understand. That's why it's so vital. Okay, no, don't, you know, some, I know, sometimes we sing some somewhere in text, we don't even understand the context. Verse 4, explain why house of prayer and why God is raising up the greatest prayer movement. God has great zeal about this. This is the forever assignment for Jesus. This is his identity. What does this say? So why are we still arguing about, are we praying, not praying, or I do this? Let me tell you, mark my word, 15, 20 years from now, the way that church is going to run is going to totally shift. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Prayer will be the center of everything we do. I'm not saying exactly what we do. The only most important thing at the end of the age for church, you know what is it? Prayer meetings. You think we over prayer? You're going to like prayer. So don't even argue. Don't need. I'm not even trying to convince you. I tell myself, I'm going to move on. You know, you're hop on. You got. No, I'm not even moving on because I'm leading. I'm hopping on with the train of God. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to convince. I have no time. Because we don't have time. So I'm not going to argue. If you disagree, fine. I'm hopping on already. I'm moving. Because God's train is moving. Okay, so that's the thing. Verse 4 said this. I tell you, God is so serious about this. You know what he say? The Lord has sworn the Father and will not relent. He's going to be unrelenting. He's going to be relentless. I will not relent. What? You know what he's saying? He's talking about Jesus. He's declaring Jesus to Jesus. You are a what? King? Bridegroom? No, he's king and bridegroom forever. But the emphasis here is what? You are a what? Priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Means what? Intercessors. That is one of the emphases of Jesus. Let me tell you this. I put it on my Facebook. Jesus, at the end of the age, when he comes back, he's not just the king that will reign. He is the priest that will rule. He's going to rule through intercessions. So are you going to pray or are you not going to pray? This house of prayer thing is not just a good idea and it's not about music. It's not prayer and worship. It's prayer with worshipped. The primary thing is prayer. No, not that's where we don't understand prayer. Prayer is communication. Prayer is communion. Prayer is intimacy. Prayer is agreement. Not we understand by this so-called boring prayer there's one way. No, there is a place. But that is not what we are talking about. If Jesus prayed forever, when he comes back, he will be a priest that will rule forever. We don't need to argue. Pray. Pray. That's where I can endure boring prayers. I mean, Jesus enduring our boring prayers for the longest time. For centuries. So what's the problem? So he doesn't mind, then why are we so troubled, so upset about it? So we have to understand. Okay, I'm not going to read the last, but turn with me to Psalms 2. Last three verses, which is vital. I'm going to finish in less than 5 minutes. Last three verses. Verse 10 to verse 12, where David gives such a powerful warning, is sobering, as well as threefold exhortation in how to respond. If you are wise, do something about it. This threefold, verse 10, he said this, "Be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth." Basically, he's saying pay attention if you are wise. Pay attention if you are wise. Hear and respond if you are instructed. Then he gave threefold response in verse 11 to verse 12. He said this, circle the word serve. Circle the word rejoice. Circle the word kiss. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. What does that mean? What do you mean by serve the Lord with fear? Fully engage with God's heart. That means develop understanding. Like Jeremiah 9:24 says what? That you may be one who know and understand. Fully engage with his heart. I find a time to develop even further, okay, because I have no time. Fully develop with his heart so that we understand his heart. We agree with his heart. We will be loyal to his truth. We will pray in accordance to his heart. Now, what we can fully understand, because Jeremiah 23, verse 10, if I didn't get it wrong, the Bible says that in the latter times, we can perfectly understand. That's why we need to press in and ask God for understanding. That's the first one. Second, rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling. Be thankful. Be grateful to what God has called and assigned us. Why are we complaining? Why are we grumbling? Do we know who we are serving, what we are inviting to partner with? I think we should rejoice. We should feel that it's an honor and a privilege. Just like rejoice with trembling. This is an honor. This is a privilege to stand in the gap, to agree with that priest, because he does not need us at all, actually. And with the king. Last one. We'll end with this. Can I get someone to pray? I'm losing my voice. Yeah, whoever wants to volunteer. Kiss the Son. Kiss. I get Joshua. Like Joshua here. Yeah, come. Last one. Yeah, I mean, we are talking about Joshua chapter 3. So, yeah, next. Kiss the Son. What does that mean? Fully preoccupied with Jesus. First one is fully engaged. This one is fully preoccupied with Jesus. That means make the first commandment first. Be one that's after God's own heart. By all, make Jesus as our magnificent obsession. You know what's the last statement of Psalms 2? What does it say? Blessed are those who put their trust in Him, or blessed are those who have developed confidence in God. You will shine. You will stand. I'm praying that we understand so that we will pray right for our nation, and our nation will shine in this perverse and crooked generation. Next week, I'm going to talk about Joel 1, where we need to learn to hear correctly. Okay, come.